Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
Did you know that God is counting on you? I mean, like, not that God is dependent on you, but that God is counting on you is a part of how things are set up in our lives. Because God could choose to do everything for us. You know, God could wave a magic wand and make things happen. But instead, God chose to use you and me. And so what that means is that God is counting on us. Now, specifically, what God is counting on us to do is to make a difference in the world so that God's dream for us individually and collectively can be a reality for more and more people. I mean, that's what God is counting on us to do, is to make this become true. Because I don't know if you've noticed, but there are some problems in our world today. I mean, there are some real problems that we're facing, and sometimes on a good day, it feels like they're manageable, and sometimes on a bad day, it feels like the world is just a giant dumpster fire. Now, please, I know, and we should see that there are glimpses of hope, of places and ways that the world is how God wants it to be, and we need to cling to those hopes and cling to those stories so we know that all is not lost. It reminds us that God is with us no matter what. But the fact of the matter is that there's a lot about the world that is not how God wants it to be. And God is counting on you, God is counting on me to change that. Because God has decided that's how God wants to do it. And what that means for us is that God wants people to make a difference in the world. And because of that, God wants to make sure that we understand what God wants us to do with our lives. Now, this is true for all people, that God hopes that we are going to make a difference in the world. But if you're a follower of Jesus, then it is absolutely true that God wants this for you as well. Now we need to remember, just because this is what God wants for us, doesn't mean that God's love for us is contingent upon any of this. God is going to love us no matter what, but it's actually because of what God did for us that God wants something from us. Because of what God did for us first, what God did was take away the gap between us and God, to take away the sin in the world, and to show us that there is something that God wants for us. It's because of that that God then wants something from us and wants something for us. And what God wants is for us to be people who make a difference in the world. It's so important for us to remember, though, that God wanted something for us first, and then God wants something from us second. Because it helps us remember that none of God's love is actually conditional. But what God wants for us is for our faith to make a difference in our lives, for others' lives, and then out in the whole world. And when we pursue this, it helps us have the life that God wants for us. Now, this is exactly what Jesus was going after when he was giving us one of his most famous teachings, one of his parables, one of his stories, and specifically the parable of the sower. It was a story that Jesus taught that helps us see exactly what God wants for us in our lives and how God wants us to live. Now, this particular story that Jesus tells about the parable of the sower was one of those times where Jesus had a crowd around him. And apparently the crowd was so large that Jesus had to get into a boat so that he could preach to the people as they stood on the shore. And so after Jesus had gotten out onto the boat, he started teaching them, and he began with six magical words that would have drawn their attention and set the stage. And he started with this: "A sower went out to sow." Now, immediately when Jesus would have said that, the people would have understood what he meant, because this was a particular kind of farming, and it was maybe the only kind of farming that they would have been familiar with. And what it meant was that a sower would have had a sack of seed on his hip that would have been probably barley or wheat, and he would have taken a handful of the grain, the leftovers that they kept for planting, and they would have broadcast spread it throughout the ground. Now, what it meant is that they didn't know where it was going or where it was going to land. And in particular, when Jesus said this, that the sower went out to sow, everybody would have immediately had this in their mind. But fortunately, Jesus didn't stop at this particular place on the story. He kept going. He said to them, "And the seed would land on the path, on the rocky ground, on the thorny ground, and on the good soil." Now, Jesus went on to say more about this. He said the seed that landed on the path, well, that seed would have been picked up by the birds because they would have come and eaten it right away. Then he would have said there was the rocky ground that the plants would have rooted for a little bit and grown quickly, but would have withered in the heat because there was no roots to sustain it when it got hot. Then there was the seed that fell on the thorny ground, and when it grew up, it got choked out by the thorns that were there. But, Jesus says, there is seed that lands on the good soil. And when the seed lands on the good soil, it gets rooted and it grows, and it can grow 30, 60, or 100 times what was planted first. Jesus wraps up his story at this particular time, and it's the end of his public teaching that day, and he sends everybody home. Now, after Jesus tells this particular story of the sower, he has the evening, or seemingly, with his disciples, his small group of friends. And he has a further conversation with them about what this means. They actually ask him, why does he teach in parables? And it's because he wants to make sure that people who really want to listen can hear what they need to hear, and people who don't care may not hear what they need to hear. And he goes on to explain to them what he means by this particular parable. Now, it's good for us that this is written down, because otherwise we might not get the explanation. Now, what Jesus goes on to explain to his disciples in the private conversation is that the seed is indeed the love of God that God has shared with all people, but that the soil represents different kinds of people. He explains that the first kind of soil, the path, is when the birds come and take the seed, is like when the devil comes and takes away hope from our lives, the evil one, he says. He goes on further to explain that the rocky ground is like when people have struggles and particular life circumstances that don't help them out. He mentions persecution in particular, and that the seed of faith then springs up quickly, but because of all those things, it doesn't take root. Then there's the thorny ground, which is a metaphor for people who struggle with wealth in their lives, and that because of the wealth in their lives, faith doesn't root because they don't trust the faith. They trust in other things, and the plant goes away. But he says, but then there are the people who have the good soil. And when the faith that God gives to us, when the love that God gives to us gets rooted in that soil, then the yield that comes is amazing. It can be 30, he says, 60, or 100 times what has been planted. Now, this particular time, Jesus wraps up his teaching at that point and goes on to share other things with his disciples. Now, I'm going to remind you of something that you already know, which is God wants us to be the good soil. God wants us to be people where the love of God gets rooted in our hearts, and then it yields 100 times what has been planted there. Because when we do that, we are the people that God wants us to be. And when we pursue those kinds of lives, there is a yield in our lives that God wants for us, because we have grown and we have allowed faith to become real in our lives. Another way to put this is that God wants faith to make a difference in our own lives, but also in the lives of others. Because when we do that, that gives us the kind of yield in our lives that God wants for us. What God does for us is make sure that this isn't just about us, though. God wants to do this in our lives because God loves us and wants something from us as well. What God wants for us, though, is for us to grow individually. He wants the seed to then be impactful for the next generation, and he wants the seed to be there for the community as well. Now, we'll come back to the next generation and the community in the weeks to come, but for the moment, we want to focus on what God wants for us individually in all of this. Now, to say that God wants the love of God or the seed of faith to grow in our lives is one of those things that sounds easier to say than it is to do. It also might sound like one of those preacher talk things. But the reality is, when God gives us the gift of God's love, God wants that to grow in our lives. God wants that to blossom, to yield things that are good for us and good for others. I mean, God wants us to grow so that we produce a harvest from our lives, because God wants us to experience the gift of being a blessing to other people. But in particular, there's a kind of harvest that God wants for us in our lives, because it isn't just a general goodness that God wants for us. It isn't just a sense of worldly blessing. Rather, God wants for us to experience the gift of God's love growing in a specific way. And what God wants for us is to be lives filled with these things: with love, with joy, with peace, patience and kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, for some of us, you might be familiar with this list because it's one of the famous lists of the kind of life that God wants for us. And it comes to us specifically from one of Paul's letters to his friends in Galatia that would later become the book of Galatians in the New Testament. And in particular, this is the kind of life, this is the kind of harvest, this is the kind of fruit that God wants to see in our lives, and it's the kind of thing that God expects will happen for us when God's love is rooted in our lives and we grow because of who God wants us to be. Now, we have to remember that this is what God wants for us because God wants these things to be manifested in our lives so that we can bless others as well. Now, the fact of the matter is that looking at this list, while inspiring, also might be a little intimidating because there's a lot going on here. And one of the things we know about us as human beings is if we say, hey, I want to do all of these things, what's likely is that we're going to do none of these things. And so while this might be the picture of the kind of life that God wants for us in general, maybe we all need to take a next step in one of these things. So for the moment, maybe you can pick one for now. Pick one of those that can help you be more and more producing the fruit that God wants you to be. Now, once you pick one, it's the task to then try to help that grow in your life. Now, it's not as simple as just picking one and saying that God's going to make this happen in my life. God isn't Harry Potter who's going to zap you and then make this true. Rather, more often than not, what happens is there are circumstances of life that allow you to practice these things. So you say, I want to be a more peaceful person or a more generous person. Be on the lookout for opportunities in your life to practice being peaceful, to practice being more generous, or practice more self-control. And when in those moments, you have an opportunity to grow into seeing that fruit manifest more and more in your life. The other thing about this is we don't want to go it alone on any of this as well. Trying to grow in our faith is not a solo sport, it's a team exercise. And so inviting someone into your life, into these moments to help you grow is super important as well. So maybe think about inviting someone you trust to help you pursue this. Maybe invite them into your life in a way that you can ask them, hey, do you see this growing in my life? And then listen to them. They could tell you the truth. Yes, I see it growing. Keep it up. No, I don't. Maybe we can work on that together. Because what's true about ourselves is sometimes we can't see the things that we need to grow in, but others can. When we trust them to show us what we need to hear, what we need to grow in, we can become people who are producing the kind of fruit that God wants us to. But additionally, when we think about the ways in which we want to grow as people and the way we want to grow and see faith lead us and be alive in us, it's also easy to kind of say that we just want to do this generally, but we don't think about where or how this could apply in our lives. And we say, well, I want to be more loving in all areas of my life, which is a good thing. But again, if we aim for the whole, we're going to miss it often because we're going to take on more. So perhaps thinking about ourselves in a couple of key areas would help us understand ways in which we could apply this in our lives more directly. Author Carrie Newhoff encourages people to think about our lives in these five key areas: our spiritual lives, our relational lives, our emotional lives, our financial lives, and our physical lives. And each one of these represents an opportunity to think about the ways in which God can help us grow to show more of what God wants for us in our lives. Each one of these key areas can help us have a better understanding of who we are and how God wants us to be. And again, like perhaps picking one fruit of the Spirit, maybe you want to start with one of these areas so that you can see growth in a particular area. Because you can apply it, because picking one will be easier than trying to focus on all of them at once. It's like every year in January when we try to adopt new habits or New Year's resolution, what are we trying to do? We're trying to change everything at once. And what typically happens? Nothing. So if we pick one area and focus on that, then we can have a better chance of seeing growth in that area. Now, when we think about the way in which this calls us to move forward, we have to remember that God doesn't call us to be perfect, but God just wants us to make progress. So making progress in one area of our lives, seeing more fruit in one area, is what God wants for us. If God wanted us to be perfect, God wouldn't have made us to be human. Instead, God allowed us to work on things and grow. God is going to love us no matter what, but God certainly does want us to put God's love to work in the world. God is counting on each one of us to be a part of making a difference in the world. God really wants each one of us to experience the gift of God's love so that we can then go on and share it with other people. I mean, it would have been enough if we just experienced this individually to know that God loves us, but God wants something even more for us than that. God wants us to make a difference in the world and to make faith make a difference in the world every day that we have. God is counting on you to make a difference in the world. God is counting on me to make a difference in the world. And God is counting on all of us to make a difference.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.